or good evening, depending on where you are in the world, and welcome to this episode of Dark Reading Radio. Today's episode will be an exciting one, the Firewall Smackdown, hosted by Marilyn Cahotas with Jody Brazel and Asaf Sidon as her guests. Now, before we get started there, I do want to remind everyone that the audio portion of Dark Reading Radio is only a piece of what makes this special. The other part is the live online discussion that happens alongside it, and we would love to have your voice in that conversation. To take part, all you have to do is type your comment or question into the box labeled Your Post, then be sure to click on that big red Post button underneath the box. With that, Marilyn, I'd like to hand things to you to begin today's show.
Thank you, Kurt, and thank you, audience, for participating in this Dark Reading Radio show. I'm Marilyn Cahotas. I'm Dark Reading's community editor, and I have with me in our virtual studio two security industry leaders, Jody Brazel, who is the founder and CEO of Firemon, and Asaf Sidon, the CEO and co-founder of Sukasa. Jody is a seasoned entrepreneur with more than two decades of executive management experience and domain expertise in all aspects of networking, including network security design, network security assessment, and security product implementation. Prior to joining Firemon's executive team in 2004, Jody served as a chief technology officer at Fishnet Security for 6 years. He graduated from Kansas State University with a bachelor's degree in physics. Asaf is a co-founder and CEO of cloud security company Sukasa. He founded Sukasa with the mission of enabling safe adoption of popular cloud services such as Dropbox to store sensitive information. Previously, he worked on the web search engineering team at Google and led a team in an elite unit in the Israeli intelligence. Asaf holds a PhD and MS in electrical engineering from Stanford University and a BS in computer engineering from the Technion. I want to remind our audience, as Kurt did, about the online chat that's going alongside of our radio. If you have any questions for Jody or Asaf, please post them, and they can respond when they join the text chat at 1:30. So without any further ado, let's start our SmackDown with a defense of the firewall. Jody, I'm going to let you take the first hit.
Thanks. It's great to be here today. So, you know, I'll make a fairly bold statement to say that the firewall is one of the most critical and effective security defenses deployed today. In my opinion, it's only eclipsed by authentication. The positive security model, meaning to only allow the necessary and known access and deny the rest, is a key tenet of the firewall that I think is what ensures its success, not just against the threats that we know about today, but any future threats as well. And it's with this recognition that I think the firewall is one of the absolute best security technologies deployed today, but I'm also a very pragmatic guy, and I fully recognize that the firewall is not perfect. And perhaps that's the biggest misconception when people suggest that the firewall is dead or that the firewall is no longer valuable. If there was any perception that the firewall was the perfect answer, that's a misconception. The firewall is just one of the key answers to this problem. By definition, the firewall permits access in addition to denying access. And anytime it permits access, it's going to leave a gap in security that's going to have to be covered by other means. The second reason why I'm going to say that the firewall is so critical today is that it may seem trivial, but the firewall is one of the few key security devices that's fully controlled by a security team as opposed to by the end user. You know, most security issues are human issues, not technology issues. Things like people following phishing links, failing to properly encrypt data, even though they have the technology to encrypt it, poor password management, software bugs, authorized users with malicious intent. All of this is great examples of where it's a user issue. The firewall is a great case where the security team owns the technology, and with the proper mindset to say security first and usability second. We can ensure that security is at the forefront of the decisions made when securing the network using a technology like a firewall. Encryption is a great example where it depends on the user making the right decision about what data to encrypt. And even then, it can still fall victim when just bad user behavior, such as bad password management, can expose all the encrypted files by giving the user access to unlock those files. So there's always going to be a need for additional layers of security, but the great thing about that technology is that it's owned by the security team. But I will admit,
okay.
I have one comment.
Okay, go ahead.
I feel like the moderator
in a presidential debate.
One last comment, because I understand that this debate today is less about the historic value of the firewall, with some concession that it's just that the firewall value today has diminished because of the eroding perimeter. The one key comment I want to make about this is that the data center will never go away. It may not be a physical data center in your facility, but it's a data center somewhere, hosted at Amazon, hosted in some Rackspace environment, hosted in a hybrid environment. The data center will never go away. Companies are still building thousands of applications. One financial service company we work with deployed over 1,000 custom-built applications in a single year. Those applications reside somewhere and must continue to be protected. And it's access control with firewalls that provide the best security for these environments.
Okay, Asaf, now it's your turn.
So I'm very happy to be on this SmackDown. So I'm not going to try to argue that firewalls are not an effective tool for protecting networks. The only thing I'm going to try to argue is that the enterprise network is increasingly irrelevant. So as more and more workloads of companies go to the cloud services like Amazon, Azure, and to SaaS applications like Salesforce, Workday, Box, Dropbox, the importance of the enterprise network as a whole is diminishing, and then the assumption that enterprise data will go through a firewall or through a VPN is an assumption that companies can just no longer make. And so while I think firewalls will be with us for a very long time going forward, I think as a whole the market is going to diminish just because there's already an overinvestment in network security and an underinvestment in securing data, corporate data that is not even sitting under the auspices of the network and the different appliances connected to it. I'll just add another thing that I think as a whole, the cloud is a more a safe place to put your data and applications today than private enterprise networks. Most of the breaches that have occurred in the last 2 years have been in private networks, not in public networks, or public cloud, sorry. And so as a whole, finding safe ways to move more and more workloads, enterprise workloads and data onto the cloud where, as a generalization, there's much, much greater resources to secure the data. A public data center is typically secured with much greater resources than almost any private enterprise can afford. And so we think that is the right path forward instead of continuing to invest enormous resources in trying to secure the perimeter.
Yeah. Okay. Following the presidential debate model, Jody, I'm going to give you a chance to respond briefly to what Asaf just said and vice versa afterwards. So it's your turn, and then I'll start asking some questions after that.
Great. Well, Asaf is exactly right that the model is changing, the network model is changing. I think the disconnect, and probably it's not even a disconnect because I don't disagree with his statement that there's a lot of other technologies that can be used to help improve security, and particularly given Asaf's experience and expertise in data encryption being one of those key technologies. I think my one contention would be to suggest that the enterprise network is going away, and instead I would say that the enterprise network has shifted. And it's shifted in many cases to places like Amazon and Azure and others where the network has been expanded dramatically. And it's very hard to draw a line as to where's the front door, back door, or any other corridor in the organization. What's really interesting to point out, however, is that that has not meant that the firewall has gone away. Take a look at every cloud environment, platform environment, so Amazon, Azure, and others, where they all implement access control. And perhaps that's where the misconception is. When we think about the firewall as a box, this thing you go and procure from your favorite vendor, your Palo Alto, Checkpoint, Cisco, et cetera, if you think about it as a box, there are many cases where that may go away because you no longer have a network on which you're going to deploy a box. But that doesn't mean that access control, which is really the definition of a firewall, is going to go away. You're going to implement very strong access control mechanisms inside of that cloud environment. That is a firewall. That is the definition of what a firewall is doing, is to protect those environments, with the exception of the SaaS applications. When you talk about Workday, when you talk about Salesforce.com, those are a very different environment, and access to those are probably going to be controlled through user gateways as opposed to what you would traditionally think of as a firewall. But no network that I'm aware of, certainly no enterprise network, will ever get away from deploying their own applications because technology, by its definition and how we choose to use it today, is a differentiator for organizations. If you're GM and you want to compete against Ford, you use technology to help you be more efficient than the other guy. And that means you're deploying custom applications. They may no longer be on your network, but you're deploying custom applications that you own, and access control is going to continue to be a really critical component of that. And in that sense, the firewall isn't going away. It may just simply shift where it lives.
Soph, do you want to respond to that?
Sure. So let me first start by one of the things you mentioned about SaaS applications. So first of all, I mean, SaaS applications are booming, and clearly in SaaS applications, the end users and the IT does not control the underlying infrastructure that is running those applications. And so therefore, the network is completely abstracted away from them. When you run a large Salesforce deployment or a Workday deployment, or if you run your EHR, if you're a healthcare company in the cloud, you simply do not care about the network that is running that application. All you care about is the application itself. And so as a whole, I mean, I think that's where the industry is moving. I think that while, a lot of these, a lot of the large enterprises do recognize, obviously, technology is at the backbone of what drives their business, the more they can move essential components of their operations to a managed SaaS application that is continuously upgraded, continuously available, the better, and of course at a much reduced cost. And so I think as a whole, the set of applications that enterprises manage on their own with their own network, virtualized or not virtualized, is going to fall. And I think that's pretty clearly, there's pretty clear evidence to that in terms of just the rise of these SaaS applications. Now also note that in the case when enterprises do run their own networks, even there, right, some enterprises are running them in completely kind of infrastructure as a service environments where they control everything, but there's also many enterprises that are running them in kind of one level above that, like in platform as a service environments, et cetera, where, again, the network is virtualized from you. You don't even think about it, and especially not about the firewall. So I think that this idea that IT necessarily wants to control at such a low level the network flows accessing their applications is, I think, in the long term, we kind of strongly believe that that is not the case. Having said that, of course, there's always going to continue to be certain workloads where IT wants to have full control. And in those workloads, the firewall remain in place, but very much like, the mainframes, as technology moves ahead, the question is where the real growth is going to be and where the new challenges are going to be. And I don't think in the long term the big challenges are going to be around network security. They're going to be much more about, how do you enable access to data on different web-based SaaS applications and BYOD devices.
So are both of you saying that the firewall, quote unquote, is a question of semantics? Is firewall a misnomer in today's environment?
I don't think so. I think that we do have a oftentimes a semantic argument when we talk about platforms and suggest that firewalls aren't necessary because we've deployed our application in Amazon, because you're in all of those environments, you're using security groups, which are effectively firewalls. So perhaps that's a misconception, but certainly not in the in the discussion about SaaS applications. That is completely understood. The SaaS vendor themselves, in nearly all cases, will implement access control mechanisms so that, for example, Salesforce.com is going to expose access to HTTPS, but they're not going to expose direct access to their operating system. And the way they do that is by limiting access to what ports are available from the public to their public platforms, which is very simple, but is exactly what a firewall is. And so in that sense, the SaaS company is using firewall technology to help implement the security that was referred to. But the organization doesn't have to care about network security in those cases. So no, I don't think that's the statement that it's just a semantic argument. There are definitely cases where the firewall is not the critical security device, but it's I think the only contention I'm making is that that does not suggest that it is going away, and certainly not going away anytime soon.
Can I add here? I mean, again, I think we both agree that it's not going away. Our main point is that there's an overemphasis in the security industry over network security. I think, because the nature of most of the existing large firms that have obviously were built on, the world of, large enterprise data centers and kind of managing security in those environments. I think, so what we're saying is that I don't think firewalls are going away, but I definitely don't think that if you go into the next, let's say, 5-10 years and look where the most interesting activity in the security world is going to be, we're willing to wager quite a bit that it's not going to be firewalls. It's probably going to be, security solutions that attack a different layer on the kind of the stack, whether it's the data itself or whether it's security layers that provide more capabilities around the different SaaS vendors and devices that access them. So I think that's where the real area of growth is going to be.
Yeah, this is a great question that I'd like to pose to yourself about your positioning here, because I think if I understand you correctly, you'd be willing to broaden your argument against to beyond firewalls to suggest that all network security controls have been overemphasized and therefore will be marginalized going forward, which would include things like network-based intrusion prevention and detection systems, network-based malware systems, all of these network-based systems that don't fit in neatly into the dynamic world where perimeter is no longer understood. Is that a safe assessment of your position?
Yes. I mean, I'm willing to broaden our attack on a wider range of systems that try to protect the enterprise network perimeter. Yes.
Yeah, and I think it's a very valid point. I would suggest that the term network in this conversation is eventually going to get marginalized, and so I would change my statement to suggest that access control, which is what the firewall is, can be implemented in many, many ways, including deep inside of an application up to the host level and then ultimately up to the network level. But access control, the necessity of access control, and whether that's user-based or application-based or simply network port protocol-based, is going to be a critical component forever, mostly because it's like passwords or maybe broadly, say, authentication. It simply is one of the layers of control throughout an organization. It definitely needs to become more dynamic in this newer world of shifting networks, when virtual systems can just pop up anywhere in the network to take advantage of the available resources. So they need to be more dynamic than what we're used to today. But I guess my argument would be that the firewall is not going away, which is interesting because I think you and I are two ships passing in the night. Your argument is more about the network security being the point of control needs to be replaced with more dynamic security solutions, and I don't disagree with that at all.
Let me ask the question to each of you in a different way that could maybe either put you on the same boat or on different boats. How would you each describe a security infrastructure today, the best security infrastructure for today's environment without the, you know, traditional firewall that everybody's thinking about. Jody, you want to go first?
I'm sorry, would you mind restating the question? I think I might have missed the point.
Okay. What would a security infrastructure look like today without the traditional firewall or without the traditional view of a firewall? How would – you're talking about different use.
Yeah.
Does that make sense now?
Sure, sure. I think a great example of how you could remodel the network would be, imagine that you had, instead of any network layer firewalls, you could have centralized visibility and control of agent-based firewalls across all the critical infrastructure, including desktop systems, that allowed, at a central point in the network, allowed you to control access to all systems regardless of where they ran. So if a system shifted its workload from a data center to a cloud environment, the policy on that system would remain intact and it would follow that application around wherever it resided. Same with a user. If the user was on the corporate network versus in a hotel versus in some other hotspot, the policy would follow that user because it would always be attached to that user or to that machine, as opposed to being dependent upon what portion of the network they are on. This is an example where access control and all sorts of other things, from malware detection to encryption policies to any of those elements, could all be enforced regardless of where the user sits or where the application sits, is a different way to look at the same problem. We're still controlling access, we're still enforcing policy, but it's no longer dependent upon which network they're connected to.
And Asaf, is that your view, or is your view slightly different than that?
So I have a slightly different view. I would just go, try to attack the problem at a different layer. So I think, right, I think that the idea of trying to control all of the employees or external partners' devices or the network that flows in between them is going to be difficult, impossible in today's world of BYOD and SaaS. So in an ideal world, I think that companies would have a centralized way to manage their corporate data anywhere it resides on any application, whether that application is internal, on-prem, or running on the cloud in something like a Google Apps, a Dropbox, or a Salesforce. And then access control could be managed at a data level, so every basically piece of data would have its own policy, and companies would be able to, in real time, revoke or authorize access to that data, no matter whether that data is sitting inside or outside of the company. So I think as a whole, companies care a lot less about managing devices or networks, and they probably care a lot more about managing their own data in terms of security.
Yeah, Asaf, I think that's a great point, with the caveat being that firewalls really are not about perfect security as much as about reducing risk. And so if the data resides in a location, if that application is perfect and has no vulnerabilities, and if the operating system upon which that application sits is perfect and has no vulnerabilities, then it makes perfect sense. But since we don't live in the perfect world, doing things like limiting access to only ports that administrators need access to just the administrators, is one of those simple things you can do to reduce risk. And it's where access control remains a critical component of the overall security strategy, not to replace what you were saying, because I think you're spot on. There is a lot of value in controlling access to the data as opposed to just controlling access to the application. But it's that limiting risk capability of the firewall that brings still a tremendous amount of value to all enterprises.
No, so I agree with that. I wish that, so in an ideal world, I think you're right. Unfortunately, in today's applications, admins simply don't have that capability, and there's no way that they would have it. So if an employee, with a BY, brings their own iPad to the company and connects via an LTE network to Google, at no point during that connection can you intercept, can you even configure the ports with which that connection will take place. So that's why I think the idea of configuring ports on the fly for BYOD and SaaS is simply it's kind of a lost cause, right? That's
I
think part of the problem here.
No, you're exactly right. I was not referring to SaaS. And in that world where 100% of the applications have been moved to a SaaS environment and you no longer even control the infrastructure, this conversation doesn't exist. But since we're nowhere near that, and even as we transition that direction, SaaS is going to just be one of the components of the network, not the end-all, not everything, not 100% of the environment.
So we're willing to wager that in 5 or 10 years, the idea of, let's say, deploying a CRM application or an ERP application that is not SaaS-based is going to seem very bizarre. So I think the technology world moves very fast, and more and more of these mission-critical enterprise applications are going to move to SaaS, even ones that today seem wedded to kind of sit on-premise. I think that's where the industry is moving.
What happened? I think that's a really interesting point, but let's just take a couple of examples, because I don't see this, and I'd love to hear where am I missing my thoughts. So let's take, for example, popular consumer applications from a Bank of America, or choose any bank, that they're offering lots of different things like checkless banking. You can take a picture of your check and get it deposited. Your online banking experience. I still assume that enterprises like a Bank of America are going to manage their own application infrastructure, perhaps on a cloud environment, but they're going to own that application infrastructure. It's not going to be one banking application that some company in the world has created and all banks in the world just run on that platform.
So first of all, there's some level of customization, obviously, to every application. But let me just give you kind of respond back with that exact example. Imagine you're trying to collect, checks from consumers. You know, today, Box and Dropbox already have certain relationships with large enterprises that exactly allow them to be the platform where you can build an enterprise application on top of, and the data transfers and the data storage would sit on top of something like Box, right? So the idea that, maybe the Bank of America has an app that leverages their infrastructure, but at the end, the actual infrastructure, since for example, Box is a highly available, cost-effective, globally distributed storage system, there's no need in the world for Bank of America to recreate that on their own data center. So I definitely actually think that that's exactly the type of applications that will increasingly start relying more on these kinds of publicly available infrastructures. Another great example, right, is all the, for example, all the service companies like Zendesk that are taking more and more of the customer relationship interactions that traditionally would have been, very heavy on-premise kind of applications, and today large parts of those interactions are being done on a SaaS model.
We've got about a couple more minutes left before we're going to move over to the on the text chat. But I wanted to ask you one question, for years, security was about perimeter defense, building walls and defending them. But today's defense seems to be more about detection and incident response. The firewall is clearly at the heart of the perimeter defense strategy. But where does it fit in that kind of an environment that's more about detection, forensics, and incident response?
Sure. So I think really, companies have to go after the data where it resides, with the realization that the data is not going to necessarily only reside on company-owned devices and the company-owned, network and storage system. You have to leverage whatever means possible, including, going through, there's tools, there's very powerful tools today, for example, that allow you to monitor data sitting in public cloud services and SaaS applications and getting an understanding of the state of your data and who's accessing it and being able to remediate problems of access control on that data. I think the general shift of focus has to be, the train has already left the station, right? The data has left the perimeter. Now let's try to secure it where it is, rather than kind of having the belief that, you know, if we could somehow just bring it back into the station, then everything would be okay. It's not coming back. It's out.
Jody?
I guess taking your question slightly different way, I'm absolutely a proponent of detection and monitoring as a critical component of the security enterprise, but I'm still much more in favor of effective positive security models, where Asaf would agree that implementing good data protection policies that define who is allowed access to data and who is not allowed to have access to that data. And of course, I would then still posit that we still have access control requirements regardless of where it exists, where the application exists, with the exception of SAS, that we need to have positive security models about what data is or what access is allowed to systems and between systems. That those positive security models are critical to give up on effective controls, positive security controls, would create such a massive risk environment that it would be very difficult to successfully detect and monitor everything. So I don't disagree, and I don't mean to discount the value of detection and monitoring. I have a very significant disagreement with anyone that would suggest that we should throw our hands up and give up on effective controls and simply do detection and response.
So I would agree completely with what Jody just said. I think there's just a realization that, you know, there's going to be some subset of your corporate data and applications that probably, you know, you have to be very proactive in terms of access control and kind of shutting down the lid of who, you know, who can access them and what degree of freedom users have with them. But there's also, you know, typically in every company there's some data that is less sensitive, and for that data, a lot of times, you know, companies will opt, for example, to kind of, let's say, put it on, you know, Salesforce or Box. But then for that data, you know, it's really important to have monitoring, you know, control and classification, so to make sure that, you know, it doesn't intermix with the very sensitive data.
Jody, I'm going to give you the opportunity to have the last word before we move over on to the text chat, and then we'll say goodbye.
Great. Well, the only real last words I'd like to have are, I really appreciated the conversation, Asaf. I appreciate your comments about the future of the world. I think the SaaS world is probably maybe more years off than 5 years, and there's always going to be a need for custom applications, but it's a very valid point that we can build applications on existing infrastructure, which will take away the necessity of owning the security infrastructure, the underlying network infrastructure, and focus our attention on what it is that we're trying to secure, which is the data. I see a long future for the firewall ahead. I foresee many more of these firewall smackdowns as the reoccurring theme of the firewall is dead is likely to continue for many years into the future.
I guess, would you say the firewall is on life support?
The single largest, probably by a factor of 10, firewall security segment, and one that's growing at a greater than 10% year-over-year pace is probably not on life support. But that same number probably gives a significant credence to Asaf's point that perhaps we're investing way too much into that particular aspect of security.
Very good. All right, gentlemen, let's move over to the text chat, and we can continue the conversation with our fingers. Thank you both for a great conversation. It was good, great debate.
Thank you, Marilyn, and thank you all for listening. Now, as Marilyn has said, the time has come not to end Dark Reading Radio, but to move it from the audio portion of the show into the live online discussion. Now, we would love to have your voice in that live online discussion. In order to do that, all you have to do is type your comments or questions into the box labeled Your Post, then be sure to click the red post button. Now, if you are listening to this in a on-demand version, we appreciate you doing so and urge you to join us live for Dark Reading Radio. Dark Reading Radio comes to you every month with another topic of great interest to those in the IT security community. Please be on the lookout at Dark Reading for information on next month's show. For everyone at Dark Reading Radio, I'm Kurt Franklin saying thanks so much for listening. We will see you in the online discussion room.